Ladies and gentlemen, you're in for a treat because you're listening to the Dubland Podcast with Suzanne and PJ.
Shove your Dubland Podcast up your ear holes.
Hello there.
Hello.
First things first.
After the night that was.
Oh,
excuse
PJ.
Me now while I do the worst thing
I
you're supposed to do on radio and eat chocolate.
This isn't radio.
I can't help resist it because...
Are you back in like fat camp?
No, I never eat chocolate anymore. So
you
now when I get...
Genuinely, Jesus, we're 2 years together, PJ. October,
yeah.
I think we started
as
this
a,
time 2 years ago as a podcast duo.
Club or team or whatever the name of Jesus we
I
are.
I would call us a podcast duo now.
Mm.
Would you say that?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. A podcast duo.
Ah, that's better. Look at your head. There's your cup with your name on it. And look at your head. Eating chocolate. Eating chocolate.
Happy
PJ
pig.
You are a happy pig. PJ doesn't eat chocolate at all. But now
no
he's eating chocolate
right.
with his new mug. I'm going to do that so while your face is full of curly wool.
Thank you very much.
So it's I don't, do you know what? I must figure out when our first podcast went out. When did our first podcast go out, actually?
I haven't a fucking clue.
Good, you're eating everything. You eat up there. That's good.
Two years ago.
It's October 2 years. We did our first podcast was October 2 years ago.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So I must figure out what our anniversary is. Oh my God, seriously, you're eating everything.
I'm going to move a few bars of chocolate. And then I'll be ready for a podcast.
You're pushing on competitive eating there.
You started this a little bit early. I wasn't ready.
Sorry, I wasn't ready. I wanted to eat this. Right, well then.
Freddo bars are a fucking thing of magic, aren't they?
Yeah, they sure are, actually, in fairness. Sure.
Should you not be talking?
I should be talking, but I'm actually just putting this up on Instagram. Suzanne.fm is my Insta. I'm all over the Insta. I love it. I absolutely love Instagram. I really do. I wasn't into it in the beginning, but I found my ilk because I was too... I'm not... You know, Snapchat's young and hippity-hop-hop. And I'm not young and hippity-hop-hop.
No, fuck
so
that.
You're right, though, because we talked about this before in the podcast about Instagram versus Snapchat. And I love Twitter now. I
love Twitter, but it's too fucking cranky these days. It's turned into the cranky old bastard over the hedge lately.
Which today being the day, because today is the 3rd of October. And last night, you know, when you saw the tweets that everyone, this is everything that's wrong with social media. Tom Petty died. But
yeah.
Tom Petty's death was reported on social media like 4 hours before he'd actually died.
Yeah, but he was fucking dead. Like, can we just knock this hyperbole fuckology on the head? Like, he was fucked. Do you know what I mean? He was absolutely... He didn't have a heart attack. He basically had a heart explosion.
Right,
yeah,
okay.
So he's technically alive, right?
Right.
So they go, yeah, Tom Petty's fucked. He's for the yard. He's gone. He's going to be in a box in the morning. Dead. He's actually dead. Yeah, mate, as good as dead. So then everybody loses their fucking minds when they realise, he's not even dead. He just had a heart explosion. You heartless fucking people. Well, if he reads this, he's not going to read it. His heart is fucking gone. It's blown up. It was like, it's blown a gasket. Right? Your car blows a gasket. Your car is fucked. Now, it's still on the road. You have to tow it to the yard to get rid of it. But it's fucked, right? And then I woke up and I have to say it did make me laugh. Someone on Twitter saying 2017 has been so shit it killed Tom Petty twice. That's fucking great tweet. But the amount of people losing their fucking marbles over, they're going like, I can't believe it. The family of Tom Petty. They're not on Twitter. Tom Petty's
They're by his side. If
Tom Petty's heart blew fucking up. They're not sitting by the bed reading Twitter, right? You know what I mean? And in fairness, if they are, they're going, well, you know, it's about to come true. Who fucking knows? But the outrage. Jesus fucking Christ. And you see, have to say, fair play. It was a huge march. The Repealers were out marching there.
Yes,
the weekend.
They were at the weekend.
Right? Fair fucking play to them. Out making a difference. Good people making good things
good
fucking
choices.
Happen. But you know what fucking pisses me off? The huge... The use, to quote a Southside turn of phrase, the fucking use. It's like, how dare anybody use Twitter and not mention the march? Are you fucking serious?
So sorry, if you were on Twitter and you didn't mention the march, then you're...
There's this sort of fucking movement now that's starting where you have, bloggers, how dare, I'm so sick of bloggers ignoring social issues. Bloggers don't have social issues on their mind. They're trying to get free
contour.
Shit.
They're trying to contour. That's all they're trying to do.
They're doing makeup and trying to get free shit.
Excuse me, I don't blog about makeup. Thanks
well,
very much.
You know,
he says,
They're trying to get fucking baskets of vodka or fucking...
Oh, you can get baskets of vodka. I need to blog harder.
Or whatever the fuck is out there. Or, I don't know, packets of crisps like I did or some shit.
Thank you, Q's.
Whatever the fuck you want to do, but then you can't... It's not your gig. Like, if you want to do it, by all means, fair play to you. But you should be allowed to leave yourself out of something. Who knows if those people were... Those people might have been marching as well as anyone else. And then just went back to their Twitter. You would never look at an electrician and say, how fucking dare you walk into someone's house and not try and bring up fucking... I don't know.
I think everything is that bullying
on the internet.
It's not like you.
Huh?
It's not like you. But it's that funny thing that I think everything now is that you have to nail your flag to the pole about everything.
Identity politics.
You have to go, I am this, I am that,
identity politics.
You know, and it's like, you don't.
At the end
of the day, I couldn't give a fuck if a blogger goes and what they do about it. When it comes to this referendum, all I would say is use your vote. Use your vote.
Yeah.
Use your democratic right to vote. Whatever which way it is.
Unless you're a prick, the vote's different to me, and then you can fuck off.
You see, right? And then this. It's funny, I was listening to.
I will say, you're like, it's pretty fucking obvious what I think about this, right?
It's true.
One woman, one vote, her body, the end of the fucking story. She makes the final decision. That's the end of it. But there is a bit of. The thing I was giving out about the last couple of weeks, a determination on both sides to just misunderstand each other. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. Like, having said that, those pro-lifer lads are scary.
But you see, the thing about it is that pro-life will say that pro-choice is scary, and pro-choice will say that pro-life is scary. And Tara Flynn wrote an incredible article. Do you know what, actually, if you are unaware of what's happening with the 8th, or you're unsure, or you don't have an understanding about
it,
or you don't know what it is at all.
A lot of people don't, in fairness.
Yeah, or you're just unsure. Because there's a lot of people that are, and I was included in that, you know, until I kind of educated myself and read about it. And in Tara Flynn's article, she writes about things being somebody else's business. Did you know the way in Ireland, as much as we're in everybody's face, right? So everybody wants to know everything. But then we do have the complete other opposite of it. We go, well, that's your own business now, you know. Whatever you want to do yourself, that's your own business.
Yeah, yeah.
When it comes to certain things, that as much as we want to know all of the details, then we pull ourselves back away from it, because if we're uncomfortable with it, we go, do you know what? It's your own business.
Yeah.
And that actually, when it comes to the 8th, it makes a lot of sense, is that what a woman does with her body is her own business.
Yeah.
So ultimately... Do you know what I mean?
So I do.
I think we got lost.
But the thing is, the problem is the pro-lifer lads or whatever, they genuinely see it as baby murder. That's the problem. They're saying, no, it's not your business, because you're killing. Like, I don't think this shit at all before anyone loses their fucking mind. But that's the thought process from the other side is.
But I can understand.
You're a baby murderer.
I can understand both sides of the argument.
As
a woman with all of the necessary equipment to get pregnant and to have a baby and to bring life into this world.
Well, you've done it.
Yeah, I've done it twice. And, you know, I've lost a baby prior to I had Ushin. I talked about it on my blog this week. I lost a baby as well. I didn't fucking lose it. I didn't just, like, leave it somewhere. I had a miscarriage. But you know, people go, I lost it.
I'm sorry, that put a smile on my face. That made me feel terrible. It was just the way you said it.
But that is the thing we talk about. It's like, did you lose it? And I was like, well, I didn't leave Tesco's, like. Do you know what I mean? But,
it's like we say it all the time. I said it myself, I lost my father. Yeah. A year ago. I didn't lose him. He fucking died.
Yeah. Just the terminology.
You know, it's a weird way of trying to soften the blow of what actually happened.
I'm sorry for it. I didn't, like, you know.
Yeah.
But it's that thing of, for me, and I think you have to have whatever your thought is, and it's your own, whatever way you identify with it and whatever way your thoughts or your beliefs are. But I do know, after having a miscarriage and then going on and getting pregnant on Oisín, and how early I went in and heard Oisín's heartbeat at like 7.5 or 8 weeks, which is when you can terminate your pregnancy. And that makes me uncomfortable. That makes me uncomfortable as a woman. That said, that makes me uncomfortable. That's my thoughts. That does not say I can determine what a woman, any other woman, does. Do you get me? Like,
oh fuck, I am 100% with you.
I will not sit in judgment of any other woman. I will not sit in court and tell her that I have right over her body, because I fucking don't.
I
just don't, do you know? But
it's just gas. No one's, you see the way you literally just spoke about it, right? So you're bringing in this thing of, like, you know, there's a there's a big difference between the 9 months and the fucking start and all those areas in between, and that's when the choices are made and that's where the crossovers. But people largely ignore that side of the debate. And I guess one side is going baby killers and the other side is going fucking Christian misogynists, or, you know, like, it's very, if again, it's like this determination not to have that chat about, okay, well, exactly when does this change, or how does it change, or what's your opinion on, you know, I don't know.
Again,
don't,
and again, look, this is my perception, and I don't know.
I can't have a baby. I can't get fucking pregnant.
But my perception of it.
That's why I see it's like none of my fucking business, in a way.
This is it. Like, but then again, my perception of it, again, and it's my perception. So this is just me. This isn't, you know, a movement. It's just me. Is that I don't believe that any woman makes a decision to have an abortion. Like, I don't believe that. We're making it seem like it's this really easy, you know,
a
decision
do,
to make.
You know what I mean? Even if they do, this is my problem. Like, even if they do and it's early and it's done and they have different plans for their lives, I mean, even then, to be honest, to me, it's like none of my business.
No, it's not. You're right.
Do you know what I mean?
Business.
Even then. Now, I'm not saying it happens. Like, you know better than I do.
But I
it
don't.
It probably fucking doesn't happen.
But
I'm just
don't
saying,
know.
Even if that's the case, it's still not.
I have never been faced with that decision. I have never been faced with a pregnancy that wasn't compatible with life. I have never been faced with fatal abnormalities. I have never been faced with any of those
well,
things.
Well, obviously, neither have I.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what I have been faced with. You know when you should have done something a little later or
earlier. Oh, the
earlier,
fear of pregnancy.
The fear of having someone else in that position.
Yeah, I will just...
And I'll tell you something then. All my fucking reservations about abortion were out the window. I'll be honest with you. I was
really?
Like, yeah. Me a father. I fucking was a... Don't forget, I'm the person that broke me nose tying me shoelaces once. Do you remember?
And you could bring that to a little life.
No, I couldn't. I wouldn't inflict it on anyone. That'd be an insane thing
I
to do.
I actually think you'd be a really good
I'd
dad.
I'd be shite at it.
You would
I'd
be really
shite
good.
At it.
Do you know what? There's
oh my God, I'd have him sellotaped onto the dog's back and all dressed as a jockey.
You said that like it's a bad thing.
When you
come home in the evening and you find that, like, your newborn little girl, Hannah, has been put into a dumper truck by your husband and their son and she's getting pushed around the kitchen.
But you're married to a responsible man.
Are you married?
You are. You're married to a responsible man. I've met the man. He's a thoughtful type. He turned up for the Dublin live show. He brought
did.
Fucking flowers.
He got me flowers.
He was all around you. He was like, oh.
That got you in a bag of shite as well.
I know
it.
Fucking. Look, this is the shit that happens, right? I'm not the man Joey is. I'm a self-indulgent little petulant bastard in a 42-year-old body. I'm not fit to raise kids. I'm not fit.
And you also need to have a little read about contraception as well.
Well, no,
the pull-out method is a bag of shite.
Learned that lesson the hard way a few times.
Shit up or get shit done.
Yeah, so it's like, look, you learn, you live and learn like
ain't
a moron.
No fear. But is that the
reason? But everyone can make mistakes, right? But I just tell you, I shouldn't be anybody's dad. That's all I'm fucking saying. I'm not the only one. I grew up in the 80s where people were men were vaguely aware there was little fuckers living in the house. They shouldn't have been parents. I'm fucking telling you. They went out on a Monday. They came back in 1991. They saw kids. All of a sudden, is that my son? Your man with the moustache? Yeah, Grant. How's he getting on? Good. Great to hear, love. Fucking, I'm going to the pub again. He came back in 1997. Like, this shit.
Christmas.
I'm just saying, I saw a lot of men growing up that didn't want to be fathers, shouldn't have been fathers, and ended up being fathers. I honestly think that's true. Genuine. They didn't give a fuck about their kids.
Yeah, but that goes to be said about women as well. There's women out there who shouldn't be mothers, didn't want to be mothers.
Yeah.
True, you know. But can I just say
although
something?
Although they were in the 80s, you were kind of fucked into the boat.
Maggie's,
do you know what I mean? It was very hard. If you're a father, didn't want to be a father.
You just left.
You fucked off, right? Like, it's definitely easier.
Yeah.
To do that, to pull the ripcord.
Yeah.
If you're a woman that doesn't want her kids, it's different nowadays. And nowadays it's the other way. It's actually trying to get the father access to kids now is the problem more than the runaway, you know? Because there's actually a good dads out there that
loads
aren't given the opportunity to
and
be good
dads. And the
courts
rule in favour of lunatic mothers and dads
trying
to...
You have all this shit going on. Anyway,
another day's argument.
But back then, the woman had kids.
Yeah.
And your man hopefully played along.
Or turned up from time to time, came home from work and had a cigarette and was like, which one's that?
We didn't have kids. You had kids.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of a different attitude.
You're what? Okay. But even it's funny because I remember my mom saying that on me, like she So she would have been quite like quite pregnant probably. I mean, bear in mind everyone smoked and drank. And she said, how I knew I was pregnant. So my mom and dad like had the life of Riley. They already had two kids, but my dad was in show bands and like gigged. And my mom was like, we have kids, but our life isn't stopping. They just went out all the time. They had loads of people to babysit. Like, I'm always jealous of people who have people to babysit. Like, because it was like she'd like tie in like my brother's, or sorry, her, my dad's younger sister used to come and stay, and my older cousins used to come and stay in our house. Like, they'd leave fucking 12 year olds with small children, be like, ah, oh, they're grand, there's food in the fridge. My mom would have a cigarette.
Just leave them in the car, roll down the window. It'd be grand not, for 5
exactly,
hours.
Exactly, not a bother. Like, the smokes are there. If they get hungry, they can have a cigarette. It'll quench their hunger. But my mom said that she found out she was pregnant on me because like they wouldn't take, they didn't have pregnancy tests and stuff. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. She's like, it just, you know, it's like, oh, she was pregnant on me in 1980. Like, she said, myself and your father were down the country. They were out like all their mates on the piss as usual. And she said, it was whatever time, 9:30 or 10:00 at night. She said, and I was cold.
Cold?
I went, you were cold. She goes, oh yeah, I was, couldn't get the heat into me. And I said, Jared, I can't get the heat into me. She said, I had to leave my brandy on the table and I had to go to bed at 10:30.
Oh,
and
geez.
And she goes, and I kind of thought.
So your mother's fondest memory of you.
Yeah, was that
you wrecked a good brandy
for that
on her.
Night, for that one particular night, I put her up for smokes in her brandy, like, and that was it. And then she, like, a couple of days, she went, oh, I might go down. She went down to see the doctor and he said, oh yeah, congratulations, Miss Kane, you're pregnant. She was like, oh God, this one better be a girl. Because she was hoping for the girl on me, she'd had the two boys. So, like, she was praying for the girl.
Kept trying.
My mom, this is nowhere. Like,
are
this
you
is
the youngest
shit.
In your family?
I'm the youngest and the only girl.
So once they got together,
yeah, exactly. That was it. They were doing
the knot in his dad's flute.
That was it. That's exactly what they did. But it's funny though, because like, here's things that you don't, like, people don't say out loud, really. Like, the biggest thing is, like, if you're pregnant, you're having a baby, please God, baby arrives healthy and safe, and mommy's safe and baby's safe and everything goes well. That's kind of what happens. Whereas back in the 80s, it was very gender, I can't say specific that word, but it was very much into
just
my
say
mom,
Pacific loads
yeah,
of people do.
I can't say specific, but my mom said that she actually, this is no word of a lie, right? So her mother specific
fucking specific
died in 1979, and my mom said, if mommy's not in heaven, if this isn't a girl, who says that? Like,
that's fucking
I went,
terrible.
Mom, and she goes, Susie, like, that was genuinely how I thought. She goes, I actually thought, well, mommy hasn't made it to heaven because if it's another boy, like, somebody's out to get me. And she goes, and then thankfully, like, you arrived and it was a girl. I was like, but mom, that's just a stroke of like genetics.
It's
that's
a
50-50 all it is. Like,
fucking whack. That's all it is.
Not even that. It's whatever the sperm is, and
who's some who are hammering.
But that's all it is. It's like, you know. You, the male determines the sex of the baby. Like, so my dad could have gone, oh, it's another boy, you know, or whatever. But I just kind of went, mommy can't say that. And she goes, I know. But even that, she like had wrote, she'd put something down about when I was pregnant on Hannah. She was like, I really prayed now for a girl. I was like, mom, I just wanted a healthy. She's like, I know, but the girl would have been the bonus. She said, like, Hannah being born was like nearly better than the day I was born, because she didn't have to do the labour.
You know, well, that,
like,
makes sense.
But the shit that, like,
that makes sense. The day you were born was one of the hardest days of her fucking life.
She said it was the best day ever. Like, both the boys,
she had to push a baby out of herself.
I'd say she was highly drugged though. My mum's, there's no flies on her. Like, my mum be like, what can you give me?
I know lads who are drugged that had to piss out kidney stones, right? Now, a kidney stone is not huge, right? It's not huge.
No, it's not. A baby's head is better.
Half the size of a marble.
Yeah.
Now, granted, the hole on the top of a flute is remarkably smaller than the hole at the end of a lady, right? But getting a kidney stone out the top of a flute, I've had lads going, you will never, the fucking pain of it. I was on the morphine clicker for 3 days after. I was pissing Ribena. Oh, jeez, the colour coming out of me, Mickey. I was in tears forever. When I think of it now, I have to go to my anxiety counselor. They're on fucking Xanax.
That's why we have babies and men don't.
They were on fucking Xanax for all this for years after because of the trauma. They couldn't go to the toilet on their own with the lights off in case the fucking thing came back. And then you think of a woman, like, it's essentially like a fella pooping out a bowling ball, right?
Yeah,
a bowling ball with fucking hands and fingernails.
Your anus is probably a little bit more malleable than your vagina, really. Like, do you know what I mean?
What does malleable
like
mean?
It moves probably a bit more. Like, as in you.
Well, that's
fucking
worse.
But
then,
as in you poop, or like, it's used to that transaction. Do you know what I mean? Like, as in you poop all the time. Stuff comes out of there, like, you know, solid comes out of there all the time. Whereas your vagina, you just wee. That's it. Like, it just, your wee comes out of it. That's it. Then all of a sudden, you need to stick. A person has to come out of it.
Well, then, even my worst, most far reaching analogy doesn't go far enough, Right?
Yes.
And so you're telling me your ma said that was the best day of her life. Bollocks. I'm saying your ma was delighted you were born.
Yeah.
She loves you. She would never change anything.
No, she would change a lot.
I'd say the moment you came out, the relief was tantamount. Unbelievable. Not only that, she has a full
healthy baby.
Not only was it a girl, but fuck me, she didn't have to feel the agony of whatever the fuck that feels like, because we've already sort of realised that I don't know what in the name of Jesus that feels like. Yeah. So it wasn't the best day of her life. The best outcome.
Best outcome
but
of her life,
day,
yeah.
The process? Ah,
to
here.
To be honest with you,
that's
like,
you know what I mean?
Ushing
you can
was
eat the best meal ever. Cooking, it's never the same crack.
That's true. Actually, that's a good analogy, actually. That probably sums it up the best. Like, that sums it up the best. But anyway, so look, everyone's been out marching. They've been doing whatever they're doing. And
feels like the world's gone fucking mad, isn't it? Isn't this the week where it feels
welcome
like the whole world's gone?
Episode 84, by the way.
Oh, wait, episode 84, sorry. It feels like the whole world has lost its fucking mind at the moment, doesn't it?
Do you know what? I said this to Joey last night.
I know it has.
Kind of feeling of like, we were talking about in 10 years' time. I don't know what, something, or I think we saw something on telly. I was like, what the fuck will the world be like in 10 years' time? Because at the moment, like even 4 years ago, if someone had gone, like 2 years ago, like I went in and had, like we were talking about having a baby, like I went into labour and by the time I came out of labour, Trump was the president of America. Like that shit happened
quickly.
So you're quickly.
Saying it was your fault. I knew you was, I knew it was something
influencer.
To do with you. It was you.
As I birthed.
Giving birth to another Fianna Gael baby.
Leo, she's for you. I'm falling out of love with Leo Varadkar as well.
He's doing me head in lately these bits.
Which I wish he would just pin his... He won't.
Pin his Mickey to the mast, if
he
you know
won't
what I'm
pin
saying.
His Mickey to the mast on anything. And I'm kind of getting a bit of a pain in my Mickey and I don't even have one with him. And I was, you know how I feel about Leo.
You
know,
you like
we played together and, you know, I saw him
a
from
neighbor.
A young... He was a neighbour.
And a friend.
To see him... Friend is a stretch, but we'll go with it. but, you know, I'm just kind of a bit like... Leo Varadkar, by the way, is the Taoiseach. Not the Taoiseach, the Taoiseach of Ireland.
He's our Theresa May,
yeah, basically. But he's like... I don't know. I'm kind of getting a bit upset with him.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Like you,
do you know what? I hate to say, like, and I sound real with this, but I actually feel he's really anti-women. I feel like he's anti on every level. So in terms of the eighth, and then in terms of women in the workplace and gender equality and just all, I'm getting, as we talked about last week on the podcast, I'm getting a no feeling from him. I'm getting a no feeling.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Like, he said this shit in the past before. He's not into it.
Yeah.
He's not into it.
So unless you're, you know, almost kind of like a woman who's asexual, who just goes to work, earns a salary, pays the high tax bracket and does those things, the rest of us, you know, who are birthing these children or want to be part of a revolution or want to change the eighth or want to have these conversations, he's just like...
No, he's not into it. He's not into it.
And it's not even that he wants to engage in a conversation about it. He just wants to walk out of the room.
Yeah, get up early in the morning, go to work, you know, play a part, contribute and then be quiet.
Yeah.
Do your thing.
He's the Jim Gavin of politics.
He is the Jim. Yeah, put a snot here. He is. Yeah, but we're not sports players. We're all just fucking people
getting
up in the morning.
Yeah, we're just humans trying to do our thing. Yeah, it is. The world is a bit mad though, isn't it?
It's gone fucking mad. Do you see the thing, Catalonia?
I can't.
Right?
I actually cried watching those.
Wasn't it fucking amazing? Like, I have to say, unbelievable, right? I mean, it was great television, right?
I couldn't watch it. It was so upsetting.
Well, it was great television to see. And now, before anyone goes, oh, you like seeing people battered. No, listen to me.
Context.
Before you jump out of your fucking knickers, listen to me, right? So basically, yeah, everyone knows what happened. The Catalan people, they decided they were going to have this referendum. Madrid says, no, you're not having a referendum. They say, oh yeah, fuck you. So they open up they decide to have the referendum. They set a date. The fucking Spanish police arrive and they start going absolutely batshit crazy. They shut down the internet so the people can't communicate with each other. They start to block off polling booths. People know they're coming. They get into the polling booths. They're getting ready for the cops. They pull people out. They start battering people. Pensioners getting struck around the head. Women getting bashed with poles. Like, all this shit going on. The one thing that surprised me beyond anything, fucking anything, there's no riots. Nobody went fucking mad. Nobody reacted.
Actually,
the Catalan people never fucking threw a bottle. They never fucked
up
a fence. They never smashed a fucking window. See this thing that they do where they stand there, they put their hands in the air, and then they wait for the police to attack them. They never fought back. They never threw kicks. They never... It was like the fucking restraint was incredible.
And
they could have won over the world because of it.
Yeah.
It was amazing to watch. And it was this brilliant video. I saw it only this morning. This woman. And you see the copper smashing her in the face with a bat. What's the next thing you see her doing? Making her fucking vote. She still got in and made her vote. And of course, then everyone's like getting really emotional. They're all clapping, and then they start clapping in rhythm, and then they start doing that thing. They're all saying, "Vota, Vota." Like, it was fucking amazing to watch. In that sense, it was great TV.
Oh,
and
like
then
the
fucking Fire Brigade come out.
Oh, stuff.
And the Fire Brigade, the Barcelona Fire Brigade start drawing lines to protect the people on the fucking streets against the police. The police attack the fucking Fire Brigade. And you're like, this is fucking dystopian future movie, some shit that people are going to watch on Netflix in fucking 1,000 years shit. It was unbelievable to look at.
It shouldn't be
and
real.
And that's not even the end of it. Then the Catalan police come out. They form a line to start to protect the Catalonian people against other fucking police. Yeah. And you see that one guy and he's got his beret pulled out. He's fucking crying his eyes out. They pull him out of the line. It's like, it's the most emotionally charged thing ever. It was so fucked up. I started thinking, Madrid have planned this to get rid of Catalonia. Because the reaction was so over the top and so fucked up. Yeah. It was as if they were trying to fucking get partitioned. They were trying to do it.
To lure them into...
It was mental. Yeah. What an amazing overreaction. But the people of Catalonia, and then the Barcelona Football Club come out in jerseys that are the Catalan flag.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck me. I mean, it was incredible. It was absolutely incredible. I mean, I have to say, when you like, it's really hard now to see why they wouldn't, really hard to see how anyone would have an argument against this region getting their own independence. They're culturally, historically, linguistically different to Spain. Now they're... And now that relationship is fractured to the fucking core. Yeah. You hit someone with a straight in the bat.
I always kind of go back to the grassroots of it, right? So if you're a Spanish copper, right, and you're getting ready to go to work the other day or whatever, and then you get these orders, at what point, I don't know, does it happen if you're a guard or whatever? Because exactly as you say, it was peaceful. Like, there was women, their hands were
in the
high.
Air.
They weren't, there was no one was throwing bottles. No one was throwing, there was no aggression.
No rioting.
There was women sitting on sitting on stairs. They were just sitting on steps. Then he got her by the hair and dragged her down and was like hitting.
In full riot gear.
She was sitting there. And I'm like, at what point in your life or in your capacity as a policeman or a policewoman in work that you go, this is justified? I honestly sat there and I was so upset by it, but I was like, shame on you. Like, shame on you. But I'm like, but it's irrelevant me saying shame on you because you obviously don't give a fuck.
Don't give a fuck.
It's horrible,
back to the fascistic just following orders thing. Because of course the firemen weren't told to go out and protect people.
No, but they just
fucking
did it.
We're not letting this shit happen. Yeah. Fuck this. No, it's not.
And they were getting like...
they got battered as well.
I know.
It was fucking mad. I will say though, it shows my fucking weird twisted values as well, because I was sitting there and I was watching it, and they were hitting pensioners and they were hitting women, and you know, they were like holding people by the head and hitting them with batons. And I was watching this going, fucking bastards. Jesus, oh, you fucking bastards. And then at one point it showed one of the riot police kicking a dog. And I went, oh, you fucking dirty bastard. That was it. I was like, I can't believe this. I was practically forming the International Brigade again. La Brigadistas Internacional. I was practically getting my old rifle, fucking jumping onto the ferry to go back and shoot the bastards. I was like, we need to fight
them. Who hit the dog?
Franco is back. The cunts have kicked the dog. No one fucking kicks a dog, Jordan Pro. You fucking smelly cop. All cops are the same. You fucking horrible bastards. I thought it was bad battering pensioners. They're nearly dead anyway. Kicking a dog? You fucking wanker. No one kicks a fucking dog on my watch. I'm going to Spain. Fuck me holidays. I'm going to fight for the freedom of dogs all over the world. Give them their own state. Fuck all the people out. I'm the state of canine fucking bliss, or whatever they call it.
Oh my God.
I couldn't believe it. I was so unduly and overly
upset. I love that's where you drew a line.
That was my tipping point. That's what I said.
Not the dog.
Not the dog. Yeah, that was it. I couldn't take it. It made me so sick.
Oh my God.
Poor old dog was going to say hello to the fucking smelly copper bastard.
It's actually a police dog. It just got caught up. Caught up in enemy lines.
And
no,
then of course there's all the Vegas. Fucking, the Vegas thing. I'd like to just literally, this is the first week. We did our live show last week. It went really well. We had a great time. It was amazing crack. And then literally this week, it's been nothing but horrendous fucking news.
Bad news, isn't it?
Nothing but horrendous news. It's kind of shocking and frightening but the way things are going. But of course, it's all bollocks.
They said in Vegas it was like that he used a third of the ammunition that he had. And like, oh, do you know what? We've talked about kind of very serious on the podcast today, but genuinely, this is the terrifying part, right, about America and the American culture and Trump. When Kim Kardashian's tweet makes more fucking sense than what Trump is tweeting, you have what can only be described as an international crisis on your hands. Like, because... That you know, this is someone who sells conditioner and, you know, their face palettes and knows how to contour and wears leather cacks and, you know, has bought in a surrogate to have their third baby and lives in this mental world, you know, of reality TV and is just, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, and yeah. Her tweet is more intellectual.
Yeah, than Donnie.
Than Donald Trump.
Yeah.
That, like... Did you see Hillary Clinton was on The Late Late?
Oh, I didn't see it, no. I'm not a fan of her either. I don't like her either.
It's better the devil knows than devil you don't. But
I don't know. I think she was equally as shite as him.
But that's what I'm saying. Who would you prefer?
Oh, it was a no-win situation. Yeah, like, Donald Duck, I would prefer compared to either of them. I'll be honest with you.
Somebody needs to do fucking something.
Although anything was probably better than Trump, realistically.
But like, it's getting worse. Like, I know we joked like last year and we went, you know, let's just see what he does. And I kind of went, no, he'll have advisors and someone will go.
He sacked them all.
Yeah, sacked them all. Someone will go, Donald, you know, you need to rein it in just at this stage. And he'll go, oh, okay, I have a country to run and, you know, and that he would...
You're fired. See the latest one he was coming out with about, you know, the Mexican wall? It's fucking brilliant. Did you see that? The Mexican wall, so they're making them...
You know, build the wall.
He's back to building the wall again. Yeah. Because people have voted for him are like, where's our fucking wall? Where's our wall? So he's back to building the wall, right? Now he's saying there's a problem with the wall, right? The problem with the wall is it's going to be very high, obviously. Right. Stop people climbing over it.
Fair enough.
But here's the problem, he says. It has to be see-through. Because people will be on one side and they have catapults, right? Big catapults. He says, I do building. It's what I do. I know building. And they have catapults, huge catapults. In Mexico, great country, beautiful country. I know it well.
Not allowed in, though.
He says they'll fire 100 kilograms or whatever the fuck Americans call 100 pounds of drugs with the catapults over the wall. And they won't see who's on the other side and it'll land on their head. That's what he said.
So what is this, an insurance risk?
That's what he said. No, it's just like a health safety. So now he's trying to figure out, can they have a see-through wall? For the Mexicans to fucking fire the drugs over in the catapults and not hurt people on the other side. This is his latest delay in tactic, is how to work out a see-through fucking wall. Like, a see-through fucking Mexican border wall is his latest. You know what I mean? Never mind looking at the Las Vegas tragedy and say warmest congratulations or warmest condolences, whatever that means.
Yeah.
Not its deepest, you know, but whatever, that's fucking... Sympathies. I'm just nitpicking, I'm just being a prick
but
myself
that's allowed,
now.
Though.
But you know what I mean? But it's like, it's just these incredible, insane things that keeps coming. And when he does shit like that, I have to say, makes me laugh. That's when I'm glad he's the president. You know, there's a bit of comedy in the see-through wall.
I'm fucking glad.
But everything else is a load of bollocks.
The rest of it's a load of shite. Like, the rest of it is just like a worrying sense of events that you're kind of like...
The Nazis getting in Germany again. See that?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, Peter, I'm getting anxiety. This is all bad news.
Angela Merkel got back in, but a load of the National Front people got in as
well.
Sorry,
yes.
So yeah, she's back in. So the Nazis are grabbing hold of power there again. Telling you.
Mary Lou's losing her shit.
We need space aliens. We need space aliens. We need them now.
See,
the time is done. We've done enough.
People wonder how you identify with Trump and then you come out with this shit. Like,
well, I'm telling you fucking now, we need space aliens. It's the only way to unite Nazis, commies, centre people, loonies like me, fruitcakes like you, the whole world. The only way to unite us all is to have a common threat. Space aliens. If we fight space aliens now, right, we're laughing because we will stop fighting each other.
We'll all just get together.
We'll be like, right, okay, let's keep the buying and selling going and get rid of the space aliens. We need a war with space aliens to save the world, to save our sanity. Maybe the world...
All right, Will Smith.
Maybe the world will be ruined, actually. But it'll be a fight worth having to ruin the world because we'll all die on the same side. Space aliens. This is a call from the Dubland podcast. If you're out there, come bring guns and attack, because we actually don't have
enough on our plate.
We need space aliens. I'll tell you, see what you just said, enough on our plate. The day the space alien attack happens, Suzanne Cain, all that shit won't matter anymore. All we'll have on our plate is to fight with the space aliens.
No, because everything else will still happen. That's what always happens.
Unless China kicks off, and then we'll just fight them instead.
Don't even
and then we'll all get mates
North
again.
Korea, like. And he keeps fucking Donald Trump keeps tweeting
safer than it's ever been. They do say there's less murders, less war, there's less than ever before. It's just we know all about it because of
the internet.
You know, internet.
It's always gone on.
Yeah, it's always gone on.
It makes sense though.
It's just we hate each other a little bit more because we see so much more of each other online.
No, because we're exposed to it. That's all it is. I think because you're exposed to it, you form an opinion on it. Whereas if you don't know, do you know what I mean?
And everyone thinks they can have an opinion on fucking everything, you know.
Well, we've always said it. Opinions are like ourselves.
Yeah.
Everyone has one.
That's
the problem. Before
it's more
we
like
go,
a cock, though, isn't it?
I don't have a cock.
No, but opinion is more like a cock than an arsehole. Like, it's okay to have one, right? It's grand.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Don't wave it around in public, and definitely don't stick it in me fucking face. You know, don't go shoving your opinion down my throat. Do you know what I mean?
What if you don't have a cock?
No, that's not me. It's a euphemism for a Mickey.
Oh,
right?
I get you. Sorry,
so when you wave your, when you start shoving your opinion,
I know. I understand it. It was just for those of us.
Yeah. So you do. You have a figurative
Mickey,
cock.
Yeah.
And you have one of the biggest figurative cocks I've ever seen.
Thanks very much.
So I'm just saying, it's all right to have one. There's nothing wrong with that.
Just don't shove it down your throat.
Don't wave it around in public. That's rude. I definitely don't shove it down anyone else's throat. Okay, that's all I'm saying.
I'll put my figurative Mickey away then. Before we finish
up. You fucking political pervert. Waving your willy around. Look at you. Delighted with yourself.
# political pervert.
Have we even done a half an hour? Physically,
we've done
the chat for 2 minutes.
No, we've done like 40 minutes already.
Or have we?
Yeah.
Fuck's sake. Okay.
So before we go, we have to talk about the live show.
Yes, we do.
In the Sugar Club. So thank you so much to everybody who came to the show on a Monday night.
Monday night in town, yeah.
Like, bear in mind, so we were part of the Dublin Podcast Festival, so that was where we got slotted into the festival. And there was loads of like really, really other amazing shows.
Yeah,
people
just the S-Town people.
My Dad Wrote a Porno was there. And
No Encore were
no
on.
No Encore, which Alan, who is the boss man around here and head stuff, and he hits his brain job, but he loved No Encore. He said it was amazing.
He said it was amazing, yeah.
But yeah, there was loads of different things on. So thank you so much. And do you know what, actually, because we talked about it a little bit on the night and stuff, it's a weird dynamic because it's just us sitting in a room doing Dublands, and I love our podcast. Like, I love our little podcast. So recommend it to a friend and go. Actually, nobody's given us a review on iTunes in about a year. So go on and give us a little review.
In
about a year, yeah. There's nothing up there. But like, we're always in the top kind of 50 of iTunes, which, to be honest, after nearly 2 years is a huge achievement because it's hard to be there. So
it is hard to be there. So thanks a million for listening.
Thanks a million for listening, and then you know, tell a friend, recommend us, and loads of people do because you see it on Twitter all the time, because obviously I manage the Twitter because you never bother ours.
For fuck's sake. Jeez.
But we do all that all the time. But it was actually so nice to see everybody like
in a room.
In a room, and there was people
singing
who had,
along to the Animal Facts song,
which was a great moment, really.
Yeah,
it was
we're gonna have to get more tight on Animal Facts. It's drifted off.
It has drifted off. We'll work on that
months.
For. We'll get. Do you know what? We'll get that Animal Facts jingle made up. Why don't we do
that?
Yeah,
we should do that properly. Yeah.
And then we'll do Animal Facts. Probably we'll do that as a week after next. We'll do that. But it was really, really cool to kind of see everyone and have a chat and say hi. And even though you legged it like straight, because you had to go to Young Offenders, we'll talk about that in the next.
The longest fucking day of my life.
So we've talked about it and we got loads of tweets about it and snaps and Instagram Suzanne.fm or at PJ Gallagher, but we're going to do another live show.
We're going to do one in the new year,
so we're aiming for February, but we'll have details in the next 3 or 4 weeks of where and when and how you can buy tickets, because loads of people are in the UK and all over the world they listen to us, but a lot of people in the UK said they would come over, so you could ask someone for flights or tickets for Christmas.
Hopefully
Ryanair won't fucking let you down. You could buy flights.
What's
at Ryanair
on? Are they back together? Do you have their shit together
till March, apparently? Like, huh? I'm supposed to be going to Ibiza in May with the girls.
March?
Yeah, till March.
Fuck off.
Yeah,
I'm supposed to be going somewhere over Christmas
with Ryanair.
Yeah,
don't know if you are then.
Are you fucking joking?
No. Do I look like I'm joking?
March.
Yeah.
Well, how can it be fucking... No, that
Who
can't be
Michael
right.
Michael O'Leary? Why are you looking at me like it's my fault?
Because
you're actually straight up looking at me like it's my fault. Like, I've gone, oh, you know what, PJ? You're not going on... Why is that my fault? fucking fault.
I'm just wondering. Have you got an email? As if you know.
I do know.
You know, it's as if you know I was going and you made up the story to see the look on my face. That's why. That's what I'm saying. It's as if you try and wind me up. It's like a podcast wind up. That's what it feels like. But is it actually true? March?
You know me at all.
Yeah, that's exactly the fucking point I'm making.
Fair. Yeah, till March, they're still cancelling fights till March.
What a load of fucking tits McCash pipe.
Yeah. Yeah.
How the fuck can an airline? That'll be nearly what? That'll be over like, that'll be 6, 7 months, 8 months.
Yeah.
It's just
a bigger picture. And now it's this problem with the pilots and stuff. You see, because the cabin crew and the ground staff aren't allowed to join a union, but the pilots are a part of a union, and then that has all fallen into problems as well. So yeah, he literally has a bag of Mickeys on his hands.
Fucking March.
But all I will say is that I'm supposed to be going to Ibiza in May, and the only flight that goes over is a Ryanair flight. So what am I supposed to do if my flight gets cancelled, huh?
I'm in the same boat.
You're just going on holidays.
I'm going Lanzarote. Yeah.
For the Christmas.
I am going Lanzarote for the Christmas.
Any suggestions what to do in Lanzarote over the Christmas? Hit up PJ. But anyway, the good news is that we're going to do another live show, so we'll keep you posted, but it will be in the new year, I think February time. And
Valentine's will be your most romantic live show.
It'll be the most unromantic live show you've ever seen in your life.
It'll be very romantic.
Why will it be romantic?
Because we'll get people involved. We'll talk about love shit. Like love if it's a live shit. Show, we'll get people on stage maybe to talk about their love shit. You know, tell us about.
Oh,
their...
we could answer. We could answer your love questions.
Yeah, we could answer love questions. Yeah. Do a Lonely Hearts thing.
We
could maybe
hearts.
Read out ads.
You could read out Lonely Hearts ads.
Essex man seeks woman for long walks and maybe more.
What's
well,
the maybe more, do you think? Like, do you think they're straight up talking about riding?
Yeah, riding, yeah.
Is it a lot like, do you know, like, do you watch First Dates?
I've seen the Irish one a few times.
Channel 4 one is back on, right? I was watching it last night. Do you ever, like this, now, I don't know whether I'm exposing myself here now, but I'll say it out loud. But do you ever look at like, you know, because they're trying to find love or whatever, right? But do you ever look at someone and go, they're into mental shit? You know, when you have a look at someone. There was a bloke on it last night and I'm like...
I was at a party on Friday night.
What kind of party?
You know, the listener party.
Oh, sorry, yeah, for the radio station.
There was people in there that I wouldn't share a fucking football field on a Sunday afternoon with them.
Yeah.
You knew they were into magic. You knew just looking at them.
The look of them. There was a guy on it last night and like and the girl, they hooked up, right? And he was real, and I straight up was like, I bet you he's like wearing a pair of leather cacks.
Yeah.
And he wants to like tie her up and whip her and stuff. And wearing it's all those, like, you know, like those.
Wearing those cacks that has an inverted thing up his bottom and them and all. Yeah.
Mad shit.
Like, just because he wants to feel uncomfortable. Doesn't like comfort.
No.
Weird, yeah.
No, yeah. But you know, there's those that you kind of go, but everybody, like, as they say, every peg needs a hole, you know?
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Every peg needs a hole. But I do kind of look at those people and go, yeah. But then you kind of want to know. There's a side show in the show, isn't there? There's like the, what mad shit are you into?
Yeah, what's your flavour? Yeah, I know. That's the thing, isn't it?
It's like, you know, sometimes vanilla's just not good enough.
Vanilla's not
people
good enough.
People want the honeycomb.
I'm telling you, bit of strange, bit of madness. You never know.
Whatever you're into.
Maybe one day you wake up and you think, do you know something? I'd love to get whipped around the gaff with a big,
I'm not into
the end of a hoover or something.
You said that like someone who knows.
I'm just thinking, should I have actually in the house? Because if I took, you know what I mean? If I was in the
bit
house.
Bit of window lean spritz to the back of the cord.
There's no point in me thinking about some fantasy stuff I don't own, because you'd have to go up, go out, buy it. Then by the time you've bought your lube, your chain, your fucking swing for the roof and something to shove up your bottom, you think, you know, something.
It's a lot of work.
I've lost my motivation. Whereas if you know, if your perversion is to do a household stuff, you're laughing. You go downstairs, it's window lean onto the flues or what. I don't fucking know. Whatever people
would
be into.
Probably.
Take a poo in your mop.
There's you know, there's somebody who's into that, and I don't know whether it's just like a vicious rumor, which I won't because it would be so libelous. But there was like, so every time I see this person on telly or whatever, myself and Joey laugh and say the same things. We both heard the same rumor about them, like that they're into people shitting on them or pissing on them. I don't know which one it is, but it's probably like such a nasty, because you know what Dublin's like, everybody knows everyone, and it could just be someone being scorned and making up a rumor about this person.
You never know. That's the problem,
hence why you'd never say it, you know what I mean? But now the horrible time is every time I see them on telly, or you know, you see them in a magazine, Joey and I always say the same thing, like about, oh, I wonder if someone's been shitting on them.
You're gonna have
like,
to tell me who it is.
I will do, obviously, I'll say. But But yeah, that like whatever you're into, once you're not harming anybody, you know what I mean? And you don't end
once you're not harming anyone, that's all it comes down to. I always said I feel sorry for the fella, the pervert in the middle. I always feel really sorry for him. I do. Not a woman, let's be honest. Perversion generally comes from our side of the fence.
Right.
And I always feel sorry for the pervert that is just a pervert. And he's not into hurting anyone. He's not into S&M even.
Yeah.
That's all too dangerous for him. He's not into it, right? He's not into any of that. Do you know? He's just a bit of a pervert in the middle.
He just wants to sit watching, what's it called, Blue Tube?
No, that's normal. But like, say he wants
that's
you
normal.
He wants you to stick on a pair of tights and have a poop and let him look at you.
Right, okay.
It's not hurting anyone. It's a bit fucking odd, right? There's no pretending it's not fucking odd, right?
A bit odd.
You know, but that's his thing.
Yeah.
Every so often, every 6 months, maybe on his birthday, he'd love for his girlfriend to stick on a pair of tights and do a poop in front of him while he has an L pull of the chain, right?
Yeah.
Maybe that's it. There's
no harm
on anyone. But how do you break that to your girlfriend? You can't. You can't break that to your girlfriend. He's stuck in his mild perversion for the rest of his life, and
but
it's no harm.
Maybe you'll
to
find. So maybe we go back to the Lonely Hearts ad. Seeks like-minded person.
Yeah, I suppose nowadays you can, because you can sign up on a website and you call yourself.
I'm sure this website's
Johnny Tight Poop, right? And you go, why are you called Johnny Tight? Well, you know,
I
just thing, and then you never know, and then you know you don't get judged on these sites or anything. I've heard that's the thing.
Really?
I've heard there
You've
is
heard?
These sites. Yeah,
heard.
I'm not into it. I wish I was fucking into it. I'll be honest with you. I'd say it's a great adventure. I'd love to be into that.
Oh, very messy.
I would love the idea of
someone
right because I get the
you.
Idea of it. I get the idea of it, right? I'm not
I
into
don't
it.
Get it.
Well, anything, right? Say I'm into somebody having an ill poop, right?
Right.
On me or a wee on me or something, right? Or maybe just like, you know, sticking something on a leather me around the room,
okay.
Dressing me up as a donkey and ride me around the room, right? Say it's that, right? Let's pretend I'm into that. I'd
right.
love to be ridden like a donkey, right?
Okay.
And there's a woman, she dresses up as a jockey and she sits on me back. She shoves a butt plug and there's a donkey's tail on the end of it, right? And she's there, do it, and I'm like, and she's like, bold donkey, bold donkey, and I'm like, and she's doing all this stuff, and then she's like, bold donkey has to eat mammy's knickers, and she's ramming them into donkey's mouth, and he's like, oh, poor donkey wants a rest, and she's no rest for the bold donkey, bold, right? So, right, and I'm like, and then she takes me saddle off and she says, time for rest, donkey. And she locks bald donkey into his cage, right? And I'm like, can donkey get out of the cage? She goes, speak in donkey language, bald donkey. And I'm like, right? And then afterwards she lets me out, right? And then I put on me jeans, right? And me clothes. And I'm walking down the road and no one knows. No one knows I'm somebody's dirty donkey. I look like a regular person. And that's where I get the buzz. That's where I'm getting espresso. I sit down, I get a fucking vegetarian
come and do a podcast.
I do a podcast. And all the time, I've got this wonderful secret that I'm somebody's dirty donkey. You know? And then nobody ever knows. Maybe, and I don't know, I'm just completely fantasizing here.
Fantasizing.
But maybe that's the thrill. You know? Maybe that's what the story is with all these fetishes. I don't fucking know. Having said that, if anybody's looking for a dirty donkey,
at PJ Gallagher on Instagram.
okay, right. I'm
that
actually bursting for a wee.
Right,
now.
That's episode 84. I can't actually even. I don't know how to go from there. Right. That's episode 84. Don't forget to tell a friend. Don't forget to give us a review on iTunes. We're on iTunes, Spotify, the Head Stuff Network, and at PJ Gallagher on Insta and at Suzanne.fm. Good night.
Hee-haw.
It's actually an animal fact. Oh my God.
HPN, the Headstuff Podcast Network. See headstuff.org for more details.